completely spontaneous. Which slide have we got? Oh, excellent. These are lorries. These are lorries stuck under bridges. Does anybody know why they're stuck under bridges? They've not read the signs, they're idiots. Any other offerings? Because the lorries are too big. They can't read the signs. The bridge is too low. Somebody built the bridge too low. I like that one. Take a license offer. Just take a license offer now. Sat now. Here's what's happening. I'll tell you what's happening here. These are men that learn to drive. And then they learn to drive a van. And one day, they forgot that they no longer drove a van. But that they drove a vehicle of huge capacity. A massive vehicle. And they were still driving their usual side routes, the familiar journey, the route they're used to without thinking. So they stopped looking or thinking about what they were doing. And what happened? They found a bridge. Because they were underestimating their capacity. They didn't think about just how big their vehicle was. That's what I want to talk about, because it's about their vision. They stopped reading the signs ahead because they just thought they knew. And they stopped paying attention. And this morning, we're going to talk about vision. We're talking about connecting with vision. It's really, really important. And so I just want to leave that up there for you to consider when we're talking about vision. See, these people weren't thinking big. They needed their eyes checking. Well, maybe they've got great eyesight. But perhaps what they did need to do was begin to read the signs. I could make that really spiritual and impress you with signs of the times and things. But here's what I do want to read to you. When you stop seeing things properly, all sorts of strange things begin to happen to you. And I'm going to read a statement, a profound statement from a man called... I forgot to put his name down. Oh, poor man, I forgot to put his name down. Oh, I feel terrible now. He was the leader of the House of the US Congress. And just out, you know, the president stands up and does his State of the Union speech once a year, or whatever it is, and he just, oh, the America is great. It's big. It's really big. And it's great, and all that kind of stuff. It's all right. is that what they do? Paul Ryan. This is an old one from some time ago. And when they were talking about the vision that the president had for the United States, he said this: any jackass can kick a barn down, but it takes a great carpenter to build one. See, anybody can look at the president and say, pull down everything he's going to say. At the moment, it's not hard, is it, really? Let's be fair. Anybody can look at somebody in charge and pull down what they're saying, but it takes a great carpenter to build it up. See, it's easy to point out, it's easy to see what's wrong, but it takes somebody great to see what can be. Jesus is a great person at seeing what can be. Christ, in the midst of nothing, when we were his enemies, when we were nobody, when we were lost, he had the capacity to see what could be. That's a great carpenter, building the house. Today we're going to look at building the house, connecting to vision, not hitting the bridge. So let me explain. What do you see here? A glass of water, good neutral response. Anything else? Half a glass of water. A half full glass of water. Is anybody going to say it? An half empty glass of water. A glass that's too large. An engineer's response. An over-engineered glass for the capacity that it quite requires. How we respond to things like that is really important. Is it half full? Is it half empty? I want to tell you that as a church, I think right now, we're not half full. We're being filled, ready for overflowing. There's a difference. We're getting ready for filling. There's a particular verse, and we often, how we read these verses really tells us in our heart as to whether we've got a cup half full or half empty or about to overflow mentality. And these are the famous verses I'll just read out to you. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Now, which bit do I always look at when I read that? Who immediately does that thing of, but people cast off restraint. Who does that one? Wow, I'm the only person with a cup half full. I always notice the scary stuff in there. I always do that kind of... When we read it, these verses are always given as a kind of warning, as a kind of fear thing, as a kind of questioning, almost like a threat or a concern or a doubt. But actually, this verse isn't telling us, ooh, you've got no vision, be afraid. It's actually saying, but look at what can be when you have. It's actually a completely other way. It's a positive, exciting thing. I'm always fascinated because a glass half empty does not apply to God's people. We are called to be a vision people. We're always a glass being filled to overflowing people. So when we read verses like that, there should be a reminder to where God is taking us, what God is doing with us, what God is doing in your personal life. We're intended to be connected to vision, not running wild. I want to tell you a story about a man I know that had vision. I'm really frustrated because he's not here this morning. God, I'm going to tell him off later. But God's vision for us. I know a man who knows what that is. Does anybody know what that is? Oh, no, that's not. Oh, that's easy. Come on, I want some specifics. No. It's the inside of a Subaru Boxer engine. For those of you that are not engineers, it's just a posh engine in a posh car, an old posh car. I know a man who had no transport, who bought a broken one of those. And with no training, not being a mechanic, and with no idea, he bought an old car with an old broken engine because he had a vision of driving a very rare, special, broken old car that was no longer broken. He committed to learning, he committed his time, he committed his effort, and this guy built this car. Phil gets to drive Lisa and the family around in this amazing car that he built when he had no skills, no knowledge, no experience, but he learned. He had a vision. I think he regularly has a vision to keep it on the road as well, from what I understand. It's an ongoing work, just like the church. But he had a vision. Do you understand what I'm saying? He had a vision for it. Phil now has a great car. Not any car he went out that he could just go out and buy. One he built. In a disposable age where there's something special, there is something very special about connecting with something that we are building. We don't just walk into the finished product. You know, there's something amazing about church. Two or three of us were talking this morning, Kev and John and myself, and we're sort of saying, look at the church. Man alive, this is a work in progress. But isn't it great to be inside the work in progress? Isn't it great to be in it? When we've seen it built and trip and a spring break here and a new spring be replaced and all these things happening, to be part of that building, what a privilege. See, when you pay a price and discover the reward of that building can outstrip the cost, then vision's worth having. It really is. And I want to talk about our vision. The value you place on the thing. Imagine the value that Christ places on his church that he builds. Just imagine that. When Christ looks at his church worldwide, imagine the value he places on it. Imagine the value he places on the people individually he saved through the cross. Just think on that for a moment. Just you, your life, that Christ gave all on the cross for you. What value does he place on you? What a vision did he have for your life? Imagine the vision and the value he places on those that are lost, that haven't discovered who he is yet, because he went to the cross for them. That's the kind of loving, vision-filled, valuing, passionate God we have. Imagine that. When we look at the God vision for us, we get to see inside the engine while we're being restored. You know, we get to be part of church, which means we get to be in this thing while it's being restored. And we get to be in this town called Barnsley. Do you know what a privilege that is? Do you understand why that's a privilege? Because one day we'll be able to say, we were in Barnsley in all the preparation years, and then God broke out. And then God broke out. And then the community changed. And the people began to get saved. And then revival began to hit and sweep through streets and into homes and into factories and into hospitals and into the council. And what excites me is that while we are being restored, while we're being worked on, while we're being prepared, God has a vision for the finish. God has a vision for the end time. And that outworking is begun now in our today moment. And that excites me. Because when you look at this place, you think, when I walk next door in this building, I look around the room and I just think, that needs more than vision. But you know what? Somebody will see that finished. It will be done. It will be completed. It will be sorted out. It will grow. It will be there. People will come in and out of that side of the building. I promise you this. And they will be built up and prepared and sent out and saved and served and loved. And that will happen in this room and in the building next door. And it will have influence. It will change lives. Do you know how amazing that is? There's a very clear continuity to the vision of God. And I want us to connect to that vision that God has in our lives today. Not just to touch it, but to have a real connection with it, to own it. See, this is what it says in the Old Testament. This is a message from a man called Isaiah, a prophet to God's people. And it says this: there's a day coming when the mountain of God's house will be the mountain, solid, towering over all mountains. All nations will come towards it. People from all over set out for it. They'll say, come on, let's climb God's mountain. Go to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we were made to live. Are you God's people this morning? Are you Christians? So you are God's people this morning. So those words are effectively saying, people are going to look at you and say, I want to go to them, work this out, because I want to live how I'm made to live. And I see that kind of living in them. Who feels about that big right now? Who feels utterly overwhelmed by that prospect? But that's the word of God. We need vision. Otherwise, we're going to be driving this great big HGV under every low bridge imaginable. We were not built for the back street. We were built for the main road. We were built to be seen. If any of you have sat on the motorway and looked in your rearview mirror, coming down a hill, you've had that experience of an HGV that's getting faster and faster and faster. And you know he's not going to go around you. He's going to build up speed so he can go up the hill on the other side. And you better get out of the way. That's right, isn't it, Ian? Where's Ian? Ian's going, no, I'd never do that. I'd never, never do that. Ian's the only HGV driver in the world that's never done that. Because he's a Christian and he drives with integrity. Our world is many things at the moment, but it's very confusing. It's very confusing. I made a bit of a joke at the President of the United States, which is very disrespectful. I honour the office of the United States President. And everything that the President seems to be doing seems to be a little bit... I'm not sure that's how presidents are meant to behave. And yet all sorts of things are happening. Just a minute, that's not fair. You're supposed to be making a mess. I'm sure he is making a mess in some areas and fixing... It's just very confusing. And North Koreans are not supposed to be nice. And I listened to an interview and they were saying, he was nice. Actually, he was quite funny. And they didn't know what to do with that. You know what confused them? Wasn't his politics. Wasn't his stance on nuclear weapons. It was, when we talked to him, he was quite funny and nice. They wanted him to be James Bond evil baddie. The world is very confusing. But God reveals a vision in those verses that says, I have a bigger vision than anybody in the world has. I have a bigger perspective. I have a clear vision. You know what? He says, I'm sat in the top of a crane and I can see the whole picture. I love that thing that Gary John brought this morning. Imagine the view of Barnsley up there. Imagine what you can see. Imagine the potential. God's seen that. He's going to make a people, a mountain that everyone else looks at and says, how's that happening? Let's go and find out. And what I love is that there's a continuity into the New Testament. Let's read these verses. In Galatians, a letter to a church, I want to say in Galatia, however you pronounce, the Galatian church, a letter written a long, long time ago to some of the very first Christians. It says this: "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." It's pretty much the same. That's amazing. We need to just unpack that a little bit. There's a whole new way of looking at our world. In Christ, there is clarity, not confusion. There's a vision to connect to. Church, we need to be connected to that vision that Christ has. Not my vision, but his vision. Not your vision. His vision needs to be adopted into our lives. Let's have a look at those verses. I'm going to have to belt through all this for the sake of time really quickly, because if you examine those, that's not just a list of phrases that Paul, the writer of this, uses. They're named specifically for purpose. They represent things. Let me just belt through really quickly. It begins with "in Christ," because he is the unique element in this vision. Everything is in Christ. If you're doing it and it's not in Christ, it's just wasted energy. It will not bear fruit in the end. So it has to be in Christ. And when our vision is in Christ, it brings something new. It says there is no Jew or Gentile. What is that speaking into? In the context it's written, it's saying there's a new culture. There isn't a Jewish culture and a Gentile culture. What this is saying is there is a Christ culture. There is a whole new culture. Here is the new in Christ. There's a coming together. Here is something completely brand new and fresh. It hasn't got that history or that history. It has Christ's vision. That's the exciting thing, that our culture is built upon where Christ is going, not just on what we once did. Then it talks about slave or free. That's making a reference to unity. Can you think of a more broken situation than a slave and a free man? In Christ, there is unity. There's a healing of division. There's a bringing together where nothing else can bring the situations together. Christ can bring things together in unity. That's what those verses are about. Then it goes on to say, there is not male or female. That's really important, because in the context of this, it's talking about our identity. It's talking about who we are. Because when those two things come together, we find our completeness in Christ. Because Christ embodies the wholeness of what it is to be male and female. And when we come together in that type of unity without division in a new Christ culture, there's a completeness there. He's the restorer of our identity. And then, very exciting, we're all Abraham's seed. We're all his offspring. We're all heirs to that promise. You see, there is no special rank. Oh, I was born into a particular culture with a particular DNA set, therefore I am more important than that particular group of people that might believe now. Here's the deal. We are grafted into the vine, it says. We are heirs to the promise. We are Abraham's seed. And I make no shame of that. Any promise made to Abraham throughout the Old Testament is alive and real for his church and for his followers today. That is who we are. Heirs to the promises made. When those verses say we are, and it says this in those verses, we are all one. When you look at the literal Greek there, it means this. When we are all one, we abundantly belong. Just think on that phrase for a minute. We translate that into English as we are all one. But the bigger picture of that is we abundantly belong. That's a funny old phrase, but that's the best way I can capture it. We belong, not just a bit, but abundantly. HGV load size. We just belong. When it says we are heirs to his promises, I love this. When you dig into the original Greek and the context of that, it literally means sharing in and sharing out the message, the vision of God. Sharing in and sharing out the message, the vision of God. That's what we are. We share in that vision that Christ has, and we share out that vision that Christ has. I want to tap into that. This is the kingdom of God. When we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, that is about saying we abundantly belong, you can abundantly belong, because we want to share with you the good news of Christ, share with you what we've discovered, and share it abundantly so that you can abundantly belong to the promises of God. That's your kingdom come, and all that kingdom has on earth as it is in heaven. In our lives. Today. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not what you want to hear, is it? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, one day in the distant future when it's fairly safe and probably for your offspring and not for you now. Amen. Is that more comfortable? It's about your kingdom come. Man alive, I'm dragging this one out. I'm not going to leave this alone till you've got it. It's about saying, abundantly belonging, sharing in and sharing out the good news of Jesus Christ, which is proclaiming your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Today, right now, in your life. Thank you, all three of you. We are going to see some mighty things happen, the three of us. Wow, what did Gideon feel like? This is what God is desperate to lift up for all of us to see. This is Jesus' city on a hill. This is you. This is you. This is Jesus' city on a hill. And by the way, we now want to build it on Pease Hill. Yay! This is his light on a stand that he talks about. Have you ever put a light underneath a table? Oh, it's rubbish for seeing around. I took my mum to a coffee shop the other day. Oh, man alive, we had to move. It's all right, but when you can't see your cup of coffee on the table, because it's so moodlit. Just like, I've got brown toast here, I white toast next time, there's more chance of seeing it. Honestly. You put a light high up so it can be seen. You don't stand a lamp on the floor. That is you. That is your life. That is us. Salt to savour. Salt to savour. His light in the darkness. His HGV on the road. That is who he's called us to be. This is us. This is your story to tell. The greatest and most faithful believers aren't stood here with a microphone. They're you living your life for Christ in the place he's called you to be. They're you in the office. They're you at the hospital. They're you at the shop. They're you with your family. They're you with your arms in wires and sound desks. They're you at the job centre, hoping for work. They're you on a night shift. They're you doing your life. That is a faithful believer's place. What does that mean for us at Hope House? What does it mean to be this beautiful people, this people of God, your kingdom come? It means in this building, in this place, we can gather all nations, all histories. People this morning I was talking to a couple of people about histories, personal histories. In this place we can gather people from all nations, from all types of personal history, from all types of cultural heritage, from all cultural experiences, people from all class in society, people of all ages in our community, people with all sorts of abilities or needs or lacks of ability. What matters is we can gather them in the name of Jesus Christ, and that is his heart. I don't care what nation on earth you were born from. When we become Christ's, we're children of God. And that's the only qualification that matters. And that's an amazing thing. I don't care whether you're 90 or 9. When you give your life to Christ, we become part of his people. And that's exciting, that type of unity, that type of coming together. Because I think only the church ultimately will be able to be a picture of his kingdom come. Only there will this stuff come together and work well. And I believe in my heart that God wants to say to this place, wants to say of us and over us, that this really will be a house of all nations, of all ages, of all cultures, of all heritages, of all statuses, of all abilities, because this is where Christ is. Because there's one thing I know, the only person and only vision that works for all of those people is Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you'll have to join a club that suits your abilities and your background. But in Christ it encompasses everything. Your kingdom come. We're kingdom people. That's massive, isn't it? Oh, this was meant to be fun and light this morning. I've got all intense. Sorry. It means that when the world walks away and breaks, we model unity and purpose. It means when care is conditional in our community, we love unconditionally. When those around us worry and are fearful in the world, we are worshippers and faith-filled. It means that two young women in our church can come to me this morning with this passionate idea and stand in front of me and expect me to just go, yeah, let's do it now. You know what I like about those two young women, and they represent so many people in this place that have a heart for the lost and the broken and the needy and the hurt, and they want to reach out, they want to say, Christ can fix these people. And we want to be part of that. Holy Spirit, will you equip us and enable us to be a part of seeing these lives rebuilt and repaired and restored? Not just patched up, but sent out again. So how can you not be excited when people want to carry that stuff? The Lord has seeded you into this world to be his abundant, belonging, promise carriers, his vision sharers. He has placed you. Who's ever said, oh, why have I got this job? Flipping heck. Has anybody ever done that? Wow, that's fewer people than I anticipated. The rest of you don't know how lucky you are. I don't mean this job. I love this job. I meant being a gas man. I love doing this. Years ago when I was an engineer, I like to say engineer, it sounds better than gas man. Years ago when I was a gas man, oh, I didn't like that job. And people come up to me now and say, well, you're a plumber, aren't you? No, I'm not a plumber. They're badly trained gas men. See, even in the plumbing world, there are tears. It's not about the job that you do. It's not about the title you carry in the world. It's not about the company that you work at. It's not about any of those things. You are a child of God. You abundantly belong to his people. What you are is an ambassador for Christ, set in that place amongst people that need to know about Jesus Christ. They need you to share who he is. That's who you are. You're not a teacher or a doctor or a nurse or a cleaner or a bin man or a carpenter or a plumber or any of those things first. First of all, you're a child of God, placed in that situation by him. So we value you. And when we say we meet on a Sunday morning like this, we meet on a Sunday morning to build you up to live Christ in that situation. Because this world needs his light. I was so excited last week to hear Colin. Wasn't Colin ace? Colin is ace. Oh, Colin, I'm going to cut your brake lines. Colin's the best speaker we've got in the church. I'm the pastor. Don't tell me that. That's my job. You know, what does excite me is that we are blessed by people that love the Lord and love his church and catch his heart and speak the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives. But I loved last week when he was talking about our comfort zone. Our vision and our faith to reach a point suddenly becomes our comfort zone. We get there. But here's the thing. The Lord hasn't finished. Because there's a new vision. There's the next stride, the next reach out. And I love the ridiculousness of that. Because, guys, we've made it. We're in. It's only just begun. It's like we have just entered the promised land. I keep thinking we've entered the promised land. And every year I realize we've just entered the promised land. We've just crossed the Jordan. Now we've got the land to take. Now we've got people to see won over to Christ. Now we've got an opportunity to build in this place, to send out from this place, to reach into our community, to reach people where you are. Your life story matters before the Lord. When you're connected to his vision, your everyday changes. I want to read you this really complicated phrase. I'm not even going to put it up there. It's too complicated. The mechanic, the nurse, the teacher, the cleaner, the any person seeker of Christ needs the mechanic, the nurse, the teacher, the cleaner, the any person evangelist. The mechanic, nurse, teacher, cleaner, the any person seeker needs to know and see that it's possible to lead the Christian life as themselves. It matters for them to understand that becoming a Christian is for them, and it's good news carried by people like you who are like them. I'm not going to repeat that. Basically, it's saying this world needs you to be a carrier of Christ. So it matters where you are. Your job matters. Your role matters. But what matters is that you are Christ in that situation. And some of you have amazing roles. You are such significant people. Let's have a look at this. I believe this is true. See, vision isn't the sum of your life at the very end. Vision involves the influence of your life into the lives of others now and this place he's called you to be today. Vision is what God has called you to have tomorrow morning. Do you understand that? Do you understand? Who's excited about going to work tomorrow morning? Come on. That's excellent. What are you doing? Oh, stop it. No, so you're going to pray all day before the Lord on knees and fast. Julie's committing now to fasting and praying all day for those that are working tomorrow. Where you are tomorrow is really important. You'll get to be an ambassador for Christ in that situation. And I love that, because that means we have some remarkable people. We get some really, I'm going to give you a list of really ordinary people who get to touch lives for Christ. And I'm going to embarrass people and name names. Is that all right? Actually, two of them are not here, so they've got away with it. But Cheryl's here. Amen. Because Cheryl's a really ordinary, normal person. She's getting slightly lower in the seat, isn't I'm saying that. Everybody look at her now. You'll actually see her shrinking in the seat. Every point. But Cheryl has walked a life of faith and growth professionally. And as she continues to walk with Christ in that situation, wow. Wow. That's remarkable, isn't it? Pray for her, because the influence that she has and the lives that she touches and the role that she plays, that's just an easy one. I could mention that Esther Sutton, she's just a primary school teacher. But because she lives Christ in her daily life, the carol service, we had hundreds of people in this room, because one primary school teacher decides that she's unashamed of the gospel. And so all her kids and all their parents and all their grandparents arrived in this building, created chaos, dancing and doing some, I don't know what they were doing. But they got to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And so you know what? They're going to take part next year as well, or this year. Like, because Esther is simply living Christ. Put your name there. Put your name there. I mean, don't get me wrong, Esther's in a very privileged position to be able to touch so many lives. But you are touching lives in your setting. You know, you're doing that, I'm flipping had enough about this. I'm going to gripe about my company on Facebook. Oh. What if you're known as a person that encourages those around you at work? What if you're the one that steps in and stirs them up and walks with integrity and begins to find your everyday voice for Christ? You're important. Your role is significant. No one is just anything or anybody or nobody. We are children of the living God. Heirs to all that he has, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, abundantly belonging and sharing who Christ is. Not because we are better or special, but because our God is better. And is special. We need to place ourselves in a very special atmosphere if we're to see this vision revealed in our town. We need to be in the presence of God. We need an atmosphere that allows us to breathe and to grow. The atmosphere of our lives is influenced totally by the relationships we have and hold, by what we are connected to. So I want to challenge you this. Will you connect to his people? Will you connect to brothers and sisters? Will you connect to the Word of God? Will you read the Word of God, the Bible, get to know it, get to be steeped in it, get to own it? Will you pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal what it means to you? And so you breathe it out and live it. If we are to remain salt and light, life-breathing people in our wider lives, we need to be connected. We need to build one another up in Christ. We need to stir one another up, to love one another, to value one another, to send one another out into our real life situations. Our good and God character can be corrupted and hurt if it's only fed by the wrong stuff, the wrong relationships, the wrong situations. So we need to be in the right relationships together with Christ's people and need to be consuming the right food, the Word of God, so we can be healthy, so we can live your kingdom come. Hear this. Jesus identified with everybody. Did you know that? Jesus was called friend of sinners. You all know that, don't you? Jesus knocked around with some dodgy characters. Where's Jesus? I don't know. He's gone to someone's house for tea. Who's he gone to? Sinners and tax collectors' houses. Sinners in the Greek means all sorts of special things. But if I were to be meeting with sinners, I think Julie might be rather put out with me. I'll leave it at that. Jesus knocked about with those people, but his most intimate and deepest time was spent with those who loved God, his people, and spent in the presence of God in prayer, because that's where his life force came from. so that they could carry good news into that situation with the lost. When we gather with these people first, where vision is shared and attitudes can change, it can strangle disunity. When we're together with these people, it can breed life and unity and belonging and purpose, and our vision can be released. Hebrews chapter 10 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some is in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Look, that's not a rebuke verse. Whenever I read that verse, somebody comes and says, "Why did you say that about me?" I didn't. I read the encouragement in that. Let's be together because Christ is coming soon. And we want to be ready. I want to stand before God and say, "We were prepared. We were out there living for you." So we've got to be here to train together, to build together, to love together, to encourage one another, to send each other out into our circumstances for Christ. Contacting or connecting is so important. Has anybody ever connected a car battery badly? Has anybody, now you won't know this, 12 volts in a car battery or thereabouts, a little bit more, a little bit less. But it's not a lot. It'll not kill you. It'll not throw you across the room. It's only 12. It's not like putting your fingers in a socket. When you connect the live and neutral wires to a battery in your car, if you get it wrong, it's amazing the bang and sparks when you make contact with the battery that it will make. If some of you have done this, you don't do it quickly enough or you do it wrong. You flash, bang, leap back, let go. Ah! But if you follow through and make the connection and get it on there properly in the right order and get on with it, power flows. Got to tell you, sometimes we come and make contact with church and contact with God, contact with the Holy Spirit, and sparks fly. But if we make a connection with God, power flows. Yeah. It works. We've got to be those people that make a connection. We can't lick our fingers and touch it. I can say this because Roy Simpson's not here this morning. But I have seen Roy Simpson with three-phase electric. If you don't know what that is, just accept this. It's much more dangerous than sticking your fingers into a socket. And he would go, "Is this live?" And I'd say, "I don't know." And he'd say, "Let's find out." And touch it. And then go, "Well, that's live." So what are you doing, Roy? And he said, "The secret is you always have to have your elbow bent towards you. Then the electric throws your arm off. If you reach out, it pulls you in. So always be thrown off, not pulled in." Oh, my days. You want to know why Roy's living? It's like, wow. There's so much power going through that guy. His heart's never going to stop. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage us, to inspire us for others. We don't meet on Sunday to help us survive this week. We meet on Sundays like this to empower us to live for Christ through the week. Not to survive it, but to be empowered to live through it. But when we gather together, we are proclaiming this. This is what Jesus said, and it's true over our lives because we are ambassadors for Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. That is the call in our lives for our town. Why do I get passionate about this? Why does this matter? Why can we not compromise on this? Why do we challenge on this stuff? Because it's about the lost and the broken, the unsaved, those in need of healing, those in need of rescuing. And we are called to be the rescuers. So I make no excuse for doggedly sticking to that and pressing through and sometimes getting it wrong. But we're here for Christ. Those broken people in our town need to find Christ, and you are the people that can introduce him to them. You too can become abundant sharers, abundant belongers, and you can say to those people, "You can be an abundant belonger and share of this good news." Is that comfortable? Is it a challenge? Is it frightening? I never find that comfortable. Is it a challenge? Yes. Is it frightening? Yes. Is it worth it? Yeah. It is. I've got to speak for myself right now. And this is me simply trying to say where I'm trying to be on this. I'm going to invite the band back in a moment or two. But this is my heart. that I believe God has given me. These are the principles I try to live by. These are my values in Christ, to love and value people as Christ does. But always be prepared to risk strategic and tactical change, to step out in faith. Because there's a heavy promise and call over us as Christians. There's a call greater than comfort. There's a call called Christ. We abundantly belong to him and can abundantly share his good news. And that's the values we have to live by. I'm not saying you've got to rise to this, and I would never condemn those who won't or can't. I'm simply saying I see that the Lord has a vision for something bigger than who we are now. God has a bigger call upon us to transform lives. He's saying join us. He's saying join him in this adventure of church. Have a connection with vision. Imagine that the church could be a place where folk are healed, are transformed emotionally, spiritually, physically, where those that don't belong are told that you can abundantly belong. Because that's what we're called to be. So I want to ask the question this morning, who's up for this? And I'm going to ask for an actual, physical, practical response where you are. So I want to kind of prophetically act out something by not leaving your chairs this morning. This is what Scripture says. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely. I think that is the Lord saying there are no low bridges for your HGV when he's driving the truck, when he's guiding you. There's no back street you need to worry about. You can trust him. His load, his journey, his route will fit when we connect to a vision of abundant belonging and abundant sharing. So here's what I want you to do right now. Think about your situation of employment or unemployment, your situation as a carer within a family, your situation of whatever it might be. Do you want to be an abundant belonger of Christ? Do you want to share who Jesus is in your circumstance, at college, at school, in the office, in the unemployment queue? What matters first is not your title, but your identity as a child of God. If you want to walk that well, I'm going to ask very simply that we're able to pray for you this morning. But not, I'm not going to say come to the front and be religious. I want us to model something. I want to say where you are, if you need prayer to live that Christ life in your everyday situation, just as the band are playing, I'm just going to say we're going to bow our heads, close our eyes, and I'm going to ask you to stand. Ask you to stand and say, I want to receive prayer so that I live for Christ in that situation. So why don't we bow our heads now? And if you want to live for Christ in your situation, I'm just going to ask you to stand. Because as you stand, you are symbolically, I believe, before God saying, I stand in my situation, in my circumstance, in my place, in my role, in the place that you have placed me right now to be an ambassador for Christ. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the people near you, and I want you to just go and stand with them. Might be that your entire row has stood up, but so just turn to the person next to you, and I want to ask you to pray for them. Pray that the Holy Spirit would rest on that person, that he will bless them. The band are going to begin to sing, to worship, and as you pray for one another in your circumstance, let's believe the Holy Spirit can touch your life. So Lord, we pray now, as folk begin to pray for one another, the Holy Spirit would be poured out. We would have such a vision of you. We would be able to pray, your kingdom come. We would be kingdom living people in our everyday life circumstances. We would be abundantly belonging to you and abundantly sharing who you are. Amen. So why don't we go and pray for one another, stand with one another, and the band are going to lead us in a final song of worship.
before us, every heart is bowed down, running with your vision, seeing heaven breaking, people love your presence, when we don't know what to do, to do.
Yours, the battle. battle is yours. Our faith is in you. The battle is yours. The battle is yours. So we stand up, everybody stand up. Come on, lift your eyes up, see the King. Our God, such a mighty fortress, you are with us for us, Jesus our King.
Battle is yours, the battle is yours.
Our faith is in you, the battle is yours, the battle is yours. Our faith is in you, the battle is yours. The battle is yours. Our faith is in you. The battle is yours. The battle is yours.
Yeah, are we? We've prepared to run with his vision. Thank you, Julie. It's the best thing to run with, isn't it? It's way better than yours, way better than mine. But we run that together. So thank you, Father, for everything you're doing with us. Thank you, Paul, for your word this morning. If you're new to us this morning, we've got our new connections corner over there. There's somebody stood there already. Go talk to them. Find out what we're doing midweek. Boot camp sign-ups over there. And let's come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Second service. Let's have coffee together. Let's get to know one another. Amen. Amen.